You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
What a weird thing it must be, Stugat, for Mike Ryan to see that since he was at practice as a Golden Cane and an intrepid reporter who has sources in the program and was applying pressure to the program to fire Manny Diaz, went out to practice, got some reports that the players were not getting along and not in on what was happening in leadership. And since Mike Ryan thought that the Hurricanes were going to quit,
right,
and Mike Ryan made his largest bet as not exactly an objective reporter, 5 units on North Carolina over Miami. Since that happened, the University of Miami, and this is not the best example because they were lucky to beat Georgia Tech and they played a really cruddy game and it felt like another one of those mediocre days where every week they look like they are Virginia, they are Georgia Tech. There is a bounce on the upright that goes one way or the other and you lose some of these games.
Not anymore.
But since Mike reported the team has quit, it has played its most winning football of the season and maybe, I don't know, it certainly taken the heat off of Manny for the moment because these very close victories are still victories.
Dan, you're awesome. Because I know the show is self-deprecating and we're going to say that Mike was wrong about the team fighting for an entire practice. That was a good sign. Instead of saying, oh, Mike was right about Vanny Dimes. You're welcome. Nailed it.
Well, did you know he was this? Did any of us know he
was
this?
Did I know that he was a good quarterback? Yeah, I knew he was a good quarterback.
A
I didn't
great
know.
Quarterback.
Mike, I mean, he's gotten 3 straight games with 300
Mike,
yards passing and 3 touchdowns.
You wanted to see Garcia, Mike. You wanted to see Garcia before.
What are you doing? You want me to be wrong all the time? I told you it was the best quarterback room ever. And I did want to see Garcia, too. The plan was for both of them to play, but Jake Garcia hurt his ankle. And now Vanny Dimes may not let go of this job. And who knows if the new coach that replaces Manny Diaz, if that happens, can keep Jake Garcia.
And the infuriating thing is you got a window if they keep Manny Diaz. You got a window into how the University of Miami lets Tyler Van Dyke down on Saturday. I went to this game, and I was infuriated.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on, because he just dropped.
He was there,
he
Dan.
He just dropped his bona fides. Well,
you there, Dan?
I don't think any of us were there.
Not many people were.
Why would you be?
No, but you were there. You marched out to do journalism on the scene, piggybacking off of Metal Lark's Miami Hurricane report from Mike Ryan that the team was in disarray. You went to go report this story.
The team was in disarray, Dan, and they've caught some good breaks, and it's great that they're winning the games. I kind of get frustrated because now I'm at the point where I can't even fully enjoy University of Miami wins because there's this narrative that every win helps save Blake James and helps save Manny Diaz. Let's let that thing play out a little bit. But if you look at these last 3 results and think, A, this is sustainable, this is anything but reinforcing all the problems that we had with Manny Diaz at the start of the season. Because the people that are bailing Manny out are the kids he refused to play at the start. He kept touting these recruiting classes, saying that they were so excellent, yet he refused to play them. And now when he's backed into a corner, he's playing them because of injury or what have you. And they're showing that they have talent. It was actually every time those kids perform well, while I'm enthused that those players have professional pride and obviously are looking like they're in line for big careers, I get more frustrated by it than anything.
But the fact that they ever found themselves behind in that game was ridiculous. They came out in the first quarter and beat the holy hell out of Georgia Tech. And then they fumbled twice. They had 4 trips inside the 30 and produced 3 points from them from like the middle of the first quarter on. They were flying and somehow found themselves behind.
You won.
No, but that's not the
that's
like,
not the standard.
Keep like, messing like, around. You're going to win the ACC this year. This is going to be the season could. You win the ACC.
They could, but they just make so many dumb mistakes. Fumbling. Every game you can count on a Manny Diaz coach team taking two after the whistle penalties. Every single game. They just take stupid penalties. They're always making mistakes. They're blowing their chance. They could have won that game by 5 touchdowns.
We're emotional.
If they just let Tyler Van Dyke be Tyler Van Dyke, they would have won by 5 touchdowns. Instead, they insist on running into the line on 4th down and 1 out of the shotgun.
They do so many stupid things.
Why are you so angry?
When?
I went to the school.
He was at the game.
Wow, Mike, your move. He went to the game and went to the school.
My God.
Wow, shots Jesus, fired.
I don't like this at all. I don't like what's going on here at
me
all.
You're asking me the two strongest allies
of this program. You're jumping down our necks for winning. You guys get out of here. You're backing us into a corner. We're going to break a beer bottle over your head.
What do you mean? He's excited. He's not backing you into any corner.
Okay, let's regroup for a second because I did something.
Claw your eyes out.
I did something that I had not done.
You started my work week with Manny's coming back.
He might.
Say the Canes are
You're
back.
Just trying to annoy me.
Just say it.
You're just,
say
this is.
Oh, here we go.
Why is
back
the first
to back wins
of the
against
week
top 25 teams?
Patronizing Mike with Georgia the University Tech. Of Miami.
I want to examine whether this
Ship has
will
been righted, I think.
Somehow,
I have my shoe in my
no
hand.
Doubt.
My just, shoe is in my hand.
You have a wide receiver named Rambo. I mean, you're
he's
back.
Awesome,
I mean,
by the way. Yeah. He's oh, awesome. Yeah.
How can't he be?
He's the only good receiver they have.
I just want to see the path where Miami might, after Mike Ryan reported disarray at practice, sneak into the Final Four.
They've lost 4 games. They're not sneaking into anything.
Wacky year. You never know.
Winning the ACC would be so coastal.
I mean, Purdue.
You get your shoe out of my face?
Yeah. Mike, 4 losses might do it this year because these fraud Big Ten teams keep getting into the top 4.
You're not patronizing me right now, right? That this is you saying you're not patronizing me right now. I'm happy that the University of Miami is winning. And yeah, a week full of fights and players at each other's throat and people saying that they were going to transfer out of here was a pretty good sign that the program was in disarray. They ended up losing that game. They covered. And now they have gotten breaks in these conference games where they could have had a call go against them in that Pitt game that didn't necessarily. I'm happy that the University of Miami is winning. But if you're taking any stock in this as if Manny Diaz is the guy still just because they're winning, it's very short-sighted.
Billy, what are you
opinion.
Making faces about?
If he wins the ACC, that's something that no coach has done here.
Yeah, yep. if he wins the
you're,
ACC.
You're hoping for them to get calls against them at this point just to get him fired.
No. What I'm rooting against is this. Like, this isn't a great way to start my week. It's just like, ha-ha, Manny's going to stay. Because you all know, Manny's not the answer.
Well,
if they win the ACC, obviously he's going to stay. And that's the frustration on my part, is that's not the standard here. If he wins out, it's an 8-win season. An 8-win season, despite
standard,
a conference
Mike.
Championship... Yeah. The conference championship should always be the same.
But like, I don't even, I'm not even talking about a standard. I'm just saying when you have a team with this amount of talent, whatever this amount of talent is, maximize
it. It's top 15 in the nation if you take into account recruiting classes.
Even if that's overrated, like you just watch the game and you go, this team is much better than Georgia Tech. And yet they cannot tackle worth a damn.
His defense has been so bad this year.
So bad.
Manny Diaz, the head coach, would fire Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Would Manny Diaz, the head coach, fire Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator? I thought earlier in the season in that Michigan State game, I'm like, oh, they can't tackle anybody. And then I'm like, oh, no, Walker's the best running back in the country. I didn't realize that he breaks more tackles than anybody. I'm discovering that as Miami can't tackle.
But then they can't tackle Georgia Tech's quarterback.
They can't tackle anybody, but... This is what I want to ask you guys if we're going to have the conversation that spans decades and generations around here. Waiting for the U to be back, a conversation we've had for 20 years, it's almost as long and as lasting as are the Raiders for real?
I think they are.
after yesterday?
Stop trying to.
It's hard to argue that.
After they lost to the Giants?
Or is he talking about
no, the Canes? Yeah. The Canes. I'm going to announce it right now. Mike doesn't want to do it. Whitney doesn't want to do it.
Don't do it.
Because it's a bullshit conversation.
Why? It's the only conversation Stugatz wants to have. Just back off for a second.
All right.
On the U is back.
They want to be first, Stugatz.
Wide receiver named Rambo.
Can't imagine Stugatz is firing up Bally Sports Sun on a Saturday afternoon.
I've seen the headlines. Rambo draws first blood. It's wonderful. They got a guy named Rambo. That's about all Stugatz knows.
Now, makes you fun.
And wants to say the U is back just to annoy everybody.
TVD.
But let's discuss what the program has been and what I don't think it ever will be again, that the expectation is that the brand somehow rise up to the squandered time where they could have been Alabama if it had been Saban instead of Larry Coker. Like, they could have created a factory from right there of like, oh, this is the football place. This is how everyone get. Well, not they could have. They had it. It was how you got to the pros. And then the talent, no matter the coaches, ends up beating everybody. Because I'm not even sure how good Alabama is this year. I just know they've got all the best players. And when you get all the best players, you look a lot more like Kirby Smart than Dan Mullen today. And if you want in that conversation at the top of the sport, not Mark Richt frauding his way to 10-0, and you're like, oh, they're going to lose to Pittsburgh, because they are Pittsburgh and they are Virginia.
Magical season.
And they are Georgia Tech.
Had a good defense that year.
They are craving the standard of our team is better than these teams, and I have more athletes than Georgia Tech, and look at this. How can this game be close? How could we almost lose this game? Even if Van Dyke, if they stumble into a future because they have a quarterback, if they stumble into a future, I don't trust this coach not to lose three games every year because of doing something dumb against one of these shit teams.
My guy. Yes.
But that's a standard now.
Unfortunately, and that's a standard set by the what does a university president do exactly? Because the academic rankings are tumbling for the University of Miami. The sports programs very Monday morning.
Oh, $5. $5. Okay. He's emotional.
The sports programs. The sports programs are obviously a mess. The baseball program's got a real sticky situation where the manager, his father, is one of the big boosters for the university. You can't exactly get rid of him. You got a coach that everyone thinks is ancient, but is actually younger than Coach K. But we're all just running out the clock with that coach. And I may just mean just like on a normal lifeline.
Oh my God!
I'm sorry killing for killing Coach Jim
Laurinaga. Wow, Jesus Christ! That escalated quickly.
Did he win the ACC?
Katie Myers is the most promising thing that we got going on here, and it's all bad. And for people, and you know, within those walls, people are holding up like Blake James. Like maybe even Dr. Frank, they're holding up that Georgia Tech eked out victory and that eked out victory at Pitt and that eked out victory against NC State. They're holding that up as if that is real progress. And all it is they got the bounce.
I am with Whittingham and Mike Ryan on this. That's as cruddy as winning can feel. Like, yeah, you beat them, but I mean, they have all these giant plays.
Why did it have to be this hard? It was so hard for them to win the game. It didn't have to be.
Their talent is so much better than these teams. They're top 15. Like, none of the excuses make any sense.
But Mike, can you guys help me with this? Because I can't discern it looking out on the field where I'm saying, man, Miami speed is so much better than Virginia's or NC State's or North Carolina's. They are all these teams now. You want to have this standard from 20 years ago, but these are all interchangeable teams and only one of them wears a uniform that has won 20 years ago. But they're all interchangeable. Like, if you beat NC State by a little bit, I think NC State is better than they are. They beat them by a little bit. I don't know who's got better athletes as I'm watching the game Miami and North Carolina, and I'm using not 20 years ago as the past, but the North Carolina teams I've seen recently that have good professional running backs and offenses that can score and a quarterback that I believe to be better in Hal than anyone the Miami has had, maybe other than De'Aaron King. You tell me how they're not North Carolina, how they're not NC State. And what Mike and Whittingham are saying is, I don't want to be those schools. I want to be Clemson.
Too bad.
Yeah, I want to be Coastal Clemson.
No, I don't. I think Clemson is a lofty standard for this program.
Coastal. Winning the Coastal every year is not a lofty
standard. I'd settle for Texas, what Texas A&M is right now.
Are you kidding? I would love that.
But like for me, like the notion of them as a national championship contender, I'm nowhere. I just like, you know, when your team is poorly coached. And I, for the most part, have seen my team be poorly coached except for one Mark Richt season where I felt like that staff had that team in a good place. And I felt like they were achieving their ceiling. I just watch a defense where every linebacker's in a position to hit a running back for a 3-yard gain. Instead, he gets a 9-yard gain. Where a quarterback is under pressure, somehow escapes, and it hits a 40-yard bomb. Where they give up unnecessary big plays. Where they take unnecessary penalties. Where they turn the ball over in terrible situations. Like, you know, as a football fan, when your team is poorly coached. And I know it because I've had Randy Shannon, I've had Al Golden, I've had the latter years of Mark Richt, and now I have Manny Diaz. And I know what it looks like. They're poorly coached.
Here's the problem, okay? And it's a big problem. Canes fans are so spoiled. We're sitting here saying you have solved the biggest mystery in sports. You have a young quarterback who appears to be very, very good, very talented. You have a young running back, you have a wide receiver, and you guys are focused on only beating Georgia Tech by 3 points.
He could have thrown for 600 yards on Saturday.
You found a quarterback. That's it. It makes bad coaching go away.
We had De'Aaron King last year. We had a quarterback.
They could have lost, Stugatz. You're saying it makes bad coaching.
I'm not focused on this season. I'm focused on the next couple of seasons.
They were holding back their quarterback on Saturday. They were holding him back.
Okay.
They could have had 700 passing yards. Yeah. They could have looked like Wake Forest has looked all season. It could have. It should have been that easy. The athletic difference was that large.
But they want to get back to something, Dan, that I'm not certain they'll ever get back to. Okay.
Stugatz, keep in mind.
I don't, though.
But if you want to get to Texas A&M.
The place I want to get back to isn't Alabama. The place I want to get back to is Charlotte. I've only been there once.
But if the goal is just to win the Coastal, what do you think that's going to look like? This is how you only win the Coastal. You're not going to be a great team and just win the Coastal and not compete. Like, this is how you just win the Coastal with teams like this.
Historically, you're right, because that's the Coastal. But how you should win the Coastal is by maybe losing one conference game. By hell, I know this is wild. Not losing a conference game in a season that you don't play Clemson.
Well, it's also going into game. Like, they, as of last week, had games on their schedule against number 2 and number 3 in the country. And they got smoked in both of those games. All I want as a University of Miami fan is to go into those games feeling like I have a chance.
Every once in a while, do what Texas A&M did. All right, let's analyze this, Stugatz, because what Mike and Whittingham seem to be longing for, because I don't think they're being unreasonable. They're not asking, hey, let's be what Miami and Florida State were when they were at the top of the conference. Never lose.
Right.
Just never lose all the time. That's where the standard is, but that's not, I mean, Florida State's in worse straits than Miami is right now because both of those programs are trying to recover. But Florida State, they're not asking for a standard where you're surprised that Warrick Dunn fumbles at the goal line at Virginia and, oh my God, Florida State has lost for the first time in 4 years in the ACC. That's not what they're asking for. They're saying, we have better athletes than a Georgia Tech offense than was recruiting for the option the last couple of years.
Got it.
And had to sort of change everything when they moved out their Amish offense. And so the athletes we're playing against on offense are option athletes who are now trying to run a modern age offense. They're just asking, hey, that game at home shouldn't come down to a kick or a bounce. And we're going to, like, what is the stop between those two things where you guys are asking for a little bit better? Then come on, not Georgia Tech at home when you have a recruiting class and they don't. You're not Georgia Tech at home.
It's very simple. Stugatz keeps echoing this lie. Like, I think that we can rise back to perennial national champion. That's not what I want.
Trying to be there for you.
What I want is just an appearance in Charlotte. For the majority of Miami's time in the Athletic Coast Conference Coastal Division, they have had more money for their football program. They have had better facilities. I know that's a fairly recent thing on the facilities front, but they have fixed that. They are top 15 in the country. There is a big lie that everyone within those walls loves you reciting, that they don't have the money and the facilities to compete. They certainly have the talent to, and that hasn't bared out anything. Like, they've been to the ACC championship game once.
I'll tell you what I'm longing for, and this is something, Stugatz, you'll appreciate this, okay? Because we come up through the gutter of Miami sports radio. Ooh. Lowest rung of the show business ladder. And what I found myself doing Saturday as I was headed to a dog park, and I realized, ah, shit, they're really going to lose to Georgia Tech?
Mm-hmm.
And I turned on my radio dial.
Oh, boy.
AM 560, where the dulcet tones of Joe Zagacki and Don Bailey's homerism greeted me. And I was awash. I was transported by time machine to 15 years ago, where I want to listen to games like that. Because if I get into my car and I haven't forgotten that Miami is in a game against Georgia Tech, and it might be close because it's hard for me to find the ACC network, and I long for a time. I'm with Whittingham on this. Just give me, I don't even.
Try ACC
just,
Plus.
I don't even need to be Texas A&M. Just give me a little Mississippi, man. Give me a little. They cheated, got on probation. They were clearly stealing players from all over the land, got good. And then every once in a while, they play an important game against Alabama.
I was in my car for 15 minutes on Saturday, and it was during a time that they were reviewing a call on the field. And apparently, instant replays is when Josie empties out the liner book because
it's a good spot.
It doesn't. Yeah. There's no bridge. It goes back to back. We go from Williamson to Camping World. Yes. It doesn't matter. No breaks.
It's
all
so
gas.
Good. It is so good. I was listening to Whittingham. What is your experience with this? Because I'm going to try. Mike, go ahead and just get me the Zagacki. Everybody likes hearing the Duke call just when you summon Joe Zagacki. But this is a specific time in broadcasting. And this is many of you listening to this who don't otherwise live in or care about Miami. You will have your regional broadcasters. And Whittingham grew up learning, really, I mean, these guys are the legends in town, in this sphere, right? Whittingham, as you have become a national voice on soccer and everything else, you learned from these guys.
Wait, is Joe Z considered a legend to you? Is he? Is he a legend?
Anyone who's in the job, he's been on the radio broadcast since the 80s, I think.
Okay.
If you're in the booth for that long, I mean, kind of everyone who has that kind of longevity becomes a legend, becomes associated with a program.
Here comes the agent.
No, I'm just saying, just because you do something for a long time doesn't make you a legend.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of does in broadcasting. Broadcasters are like Supreme Court justices.
Dave Van Horn is in the Hall of Fame.
No.
For his work with the Marlins, though, I mean,
for his longevity.
Okay.
But you said legend? They're like Supreme Court justices, Woody.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. I was going to say. How many legends do you have there?
How many Supreme Court justices have we been like, well, okay, they're 90 and they still have sound judgment?
This is a more difficult conversation, okay? Because I'm with Whittingham on the idea it's not about your broadcasting skill once you've arrived at a place of such longevity that people associate you and only you as the voice of the program. Because Joe Zagacki doesn't have a traditional. Joe Zagacki's roots are all in Miami, right? Joe Zagacki almost died in a plane crash trying to bring relief somewhere. Like he is locally tied and to this region and more locally to this program and this small little heart of Coral Gables where there's something pure and they sell these magical milkshakes at. He's a voice from another time. And
you just made him Roberto Clemente, I think.
Was he on Brothers to the Rescue? I wasn't familiar with that bringing aid.
Zagacki.
Yeah.
So you have there. Go ahead and play the fake Joe Zagacki here because I want to ask Whittingham some more uncomfortable questions where I ask him, is a legend actually that good at broadcasting?
27-24, squib kick. Just fall down on it or whatever. No, they're going to try the lateral. Pass it to the other side of the field. This never works. Caught by Cornelder. Pitches it back to Jaquan Johnson at the Miami 30. Delaying the inevitable. Looking for a block. Pitches it backwards. As many laterals now as BS pass interference penalties on that last drive. Walton now pitches it back to Johnson. Guess we're going to keep going with this. Toss it back. Here comes another pitch. Cornelder has it. Throws it back to the Plumbers 9-1-1 goal line. Dallas Crawford looking for a block. Gets one. Definitely not a block in the back. He throws it across to the 30 to Cornelder. Big legal block. He's got it to the 40. Cornelder crossing El Palacio de los Jugos midfield. Cornelder speeding now to the 40. Speeding ticket. FakeHoward.com. Helder now dashing down the Dandy Bear sideline. So what? Your kid has ringworm. Dandy Bear. Helder inside the Gus Machado red zone. Cornelder. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Lindy. Eric. Scotty. Mike. Miami. Sequoia. Touchdown.
Yeah! Yeah!
There are presently no flags on the field, and certainly no one will have a problem with how this game ended.
We'll never get old, man.
That broadcast, it is getting old.
Not for me.
But that broadcast is a careening 18-wheeler making its way through the Atlanta Championship Parade at 700 miles per hour.
And if you're looking for an 18-wheeler, try Camping World. Camping, America's other favorite pastime.
Whittingham, how difficult is it? Because this is what washed over me. What washed over me as I'm listening to this, I'm like, man, radio's a dying market. It's just, I haven't done this in 15 years where I just turn on my radio and go to an AM dial and I want to hear something that's happening there. And there are the familiar voices, and they've got to sell stuff because that Saturday afternoon, they've got a concert.
Speaking of dying mediums, Caballero Rivera Woodlaw in Westchester. For your friends or family that are also part of dying mediums, it used to be a Boston market.
Whittingham, how hard is that to do? How hard they are? I've got him holding a giant steering wheel, and the vehicle he's driving in is so large, and he's going 1,000 miles an hour, and he's like, where's that paperwork I've got for Caballero Funeral Home?
Well, there's a guy in the booth whose job that is, who's handing him the reads. But the thing is that there are impractical sales staffs that will hand you these card reads that are a full length 8.5 by 11 sheet long. And that's why you crank them out during video reviews, because they could be 4 minutes long. And so, all right, here's some material to help me fill. But if you got to try and squeeze in an ad read in between plays and it's a 38 second ad read, all of a sudden you're into dangerous territory.
But it's funny to me to listen to it that way, because of course that's where they have to put the ad reads.
You're speed reading.
They don't want people to leave during commercials. So right. In a shrinking business, as radio finds it harder to reach advertisers, as the sponsorships are worth less, you see it all condensed into a very tight space. And that's why I'm saying that Joe Zagacki is driving it is a bus, and it is going too fast.
And people don't realize how fast the game is. And the NFL is even faster than college football, but in college football, the games is flying. So you're trying to get all your descriptions in. You're trying to do score and time every 3 minutes so that the audience knows what's happening. And you're trying to squeeze in 41 ad reads over the course of a broadcast.
So exhausted.
Speaking of weaving in and out of dangerous lanes, Estrella Insurance, located in the Sunset Village Shopping Center.
There's always an insurance company that comes in and then they're out 2 years later. Always.
Make sure to talk to Betty Colon, my agent over at Estrella Insurance. Ask for the Zagak rate.
We'll disappear in 2 years.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
We'll get to the Dolphins in a second because I'm beginning to feel bad for Gaskin.
Really?
Like, that's a bad way to make a living. 20 carries for 34 yards. And I'm reading it, and it could have been 34 carries for 20 yards. Not since Lusaka Polite has a guy worked harder and done more damage to his body over a lesser cause than this poor guy trying to run the ball for this team.
Do we have to get to them? I don't feel like you're in some sort of rush. You said a second. It could be a couple of minutes.
Because that game... is where the Dolphin brand has fallen to as Don Shula dies and Dan Marino turns 60.
and a faded time. Stugatz, it's been 20 years of people longing. You talk about what's happening with the Miami program.
Right.
Generations have grown up on what the Dolphins have been, and they've been incompetence across 20 years as the Patriots have been the standard in a division that has been crud for 20 years. Buffalo, 17 years without a playoff victory. We always make fun of your Jets. And the Dolphins stink every single season. And this season, there's nobody listening to this who's a Dolphin fan and saying, yeah, yesterday meant something. It's just a cruddy game that ruins your Sunday. You don't even want to watch it because Brissett is out there. And they played the same game. Both quarterbacks played the same game. Tyrod Taylor just threw one more interception. And the Dolphins eke out just a painfully bad game to watch as everybody turns the ball over. And you realize you're watching bad football.
Mm-hmm.
That those two teams are nowhere near where some of the best teams in this league are, as the Dolphins cheapen themselves by thinking about Deshaun Watson and Greg Cody, who Mike Ryan, Mike, you heard his feelings the other day by calling him a what kind of columnist? An innocuous columnist.
He got love how you have Mike Ryan hurting his feelings and nothing you've ever said has hurt his feelings.
No, but I did hurt his feelings and I went up to him afterwards. I didn't know. I can understand why he might perceive that as an insult. So.
He's very sensitive right now.
He was upset. He was.
The state of journalism and, you know, his role in that. And, you know, he's sensitive about it. He's sensitive in general. Yeah. But with, like, his role covering the Dolphins, he doesn't like being made fun of on that
stuff. I got all the reasons why, which is why I apologize. His reputation isn't really one that he doesn't necessarily make waves.
Well, you say that, and I was surprised to see your father be that hurt in the hallway. And Mike saw it. I didn't even notice it, but Mike came up and apologized for calling him an innocuous columnist. And I looked at Greg and I'm like, but aren't you? You're not a columnist who fires people.
Sure, that helped.
This isn't helping either.
But aren't you following up with this?
Really?
This started with him putting it on me.
This isn't going well.
Dan, you do love to double down on insults. Do you not?
I mean, and the apology was, I'm sorry if he perceived it that way, which is,
oh boy,
this isn't going well for Greg.
Wow. This is what I mean by that. You guys tell me, because we are columnists from a different time. I would describe myself as an innocuous columnist. I wasn't firing people or making headlines by having these fiery takes. I was controversial, I guess, because I was trying to humanize athletes and feature columns, Stugatz. But I view myself as an innocuous columnist. I wasn't out there like Jay Mariotti or Skip Bayless or firing people. And Greg Cody doesn't make, like, whatever his columns are, they're not very mean. They're not cruel. They're not something. Greg Cody's not going to have a hard time walking into a lot of locker rooms because athlete X is mad at him because of something that he's written. And so that's, I really didn't
he's
mean.
He's not going for mean. I mean, people just don't like you.
That's correct. Yes. And on top of that, they don't like some of my opinions as well. But Greg Cody gets his feelings hurt on stuff like this and wants a better place in journalism, but wait till I tell you what happened Saturday night so you understand that he doesn't deserve some of the things that he wants or thinks that he's entitled to. What I was going to say about Greg Cody, even he said the owner's got to go. He said he wrote a column, innocuous columnist Greg Cody wrote a column saying Stephen Ross has got to go. He's the big problem here. And it's just not the kind of column Greg usually writes. He doesn't fire people. He's a longtime standing columnist at a time as the industry dies around him and he's a dinosaur, but he's still writing something that people pay attention to, even though they're not reading and they won't go behind the paywall. It still matters when a local columnist tells somebody, get the hell out of town.
It also seems like he's looking for exit ramps on the Tua stuff because he's been in Tua's camp. But even yesterday, he wrote a column, I think, where he was talking about, you know, these injury things are starting to become a trend with him. And I'm like, look at you. You're bad. No. See, you were a Tua guy. You're looking for an exit.
No, you guys got in his head now. So he's looking for, like, things to say to not get criticized. He's like, how do I rip people? Right.
He's trying to fire people now.
Mm-hmm. Now he's a provocateur.
Which is what he should be doing, honestly. I'd rather be that than just what you guys are accusing him of being, of someone that is thought of as a homer. You don't want to be that writer, unless you're Greg.
He's just not cruel. He's gentle. I don't, like, I'm not even saying it is a bad thing.
He's done pretty well for himself. I mean, I don't,
if it sounds like criticism, I do not mean it to, because I'm telling you
that I wasn't the guy stomping around firing coaches or telling owners to get out of town. So I'm saying that I, too, would consider myself a fairly innocuous columnist. I wasn't doing what Jason Whitlock was doing and what Mike Lupica were doing. I was trying to humanize athletes. That's why I was controversial, not because I had any real strong flaming takes.
Back in my day, being a fair journalist was more respectable than having hot takes. Yeah. That's what Greg Cody is.
Fair would have been better than innocuous.
Underwear columnist, probably not as...
A little lazy, helpful. I think we can all agree. But this is how I want to get into...
Speaking of underwear, Tommy John, promo code Bailey.
Whittingham, you weren't there on Saturday. Thank you to everybody who came out. We love how personal and intimate those things are. Stu Gatz puts the bar so low on expectations for him that he was the hero of the night by showing up as a surprise. None of us knew.
Just walking in.
Going to be there.
No. Stu Gatz walked up to the bouncer, not the bouncer of the event, the bouncer of the entire nightclub, and goes, "I'm Stu Gatz."
Yep.
Like, he thought that was going to get him in. And the guy was like, "What?"
It did, though. I mean, it got me in.
Well, it sounds like Jessica might have gotten you in. Like,
I walked right into the front door. He said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the co-host of the Dan Levitard Show."
No, you said, "I'm Stu Gatz."
Well, yeah, I tried that first, and then he didn't get it. Then I said Dan's name, and then he got it, and then he let me right in. Boom.
Dan got you in.
Yeah, well, Dan's name got me in, but Dan's name's got me into 1,000 places. He just doesn't know about it.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't know the details.
He got me out of tickets.
Please don't ever give me the details. I don't want to know the details. I imagine one day in spiraling headlines written in a column by Greg Cody, I will find out one of the times you've done it because you've been arrested for something, or some SWAT team is ending up here because you've done some godforsaken thing with your magical frauds. But what I wanted to ask Chris Cody about is that evening, and I think this will infuriate Whittingham. Greg Cody, we made some errors, and it was a fun night. But one of the errors we made is Juju Gotti went on too early. The rapper, he was great, and his performance was, the highlight of the night. A whole lot of energy in the place, and I say that like really getting great joy out of meeting like our biggest fans, some of the people who would fly all over to come and see us. And then 10:30, Juju Gotti we had too early, Greg Cody we had too late. Now, I think he was into the liquor, and there was a plan. They were supposed to do, Chris and his father were supposed to do 10 live minutes for their podcast so that Greg Cody could get all the clicks as he tries to modernize from the Stone Age. And Greg got on stage, got the microphone, and got so again intoxicated with his own voice, his own narcissism, that he, forgot everything he was supposed to do, yammered for 3 minutes until Mike and I looked at each other and like, wow, he's killed this entire crowd in 3 minutes. We got to get out there and grab the microphone.
I mean, it's his comedy. He was just doing a stand-up set. That's his version of a stand-up set. You know, you guys just didn't get it. It was over your head. It was deep.
Why are you guys taking him out again? Huh? You're standing on the side of the stage.
He's coming in
bad
tomorrow.
About him. Poor guy.
I was looking to be helpful. I actually shouted at Chris. Yeah. Chris, do you need our help?
And I was like, please. Yeah. Well, I mean, 10:30. I mean, you're not putting Greg Coe. You know how he is with Miller Lights. My mom is there driving him. So that's like, you know, he's going to get after it. And it was just.
Right.
But even honestly, I know my dad and Miller Lights. I think it went perfectly. It could have gone a lot worse.
Ooh. I thought his stand-up set was honestly pretty innocuous.
Yeah. Okay, he was doing timely humor. He's like, Mike Ryan looks like Aaron Rodgers. What?
But I think Dan's saying it could have been a lot better, too.
Whoa, no, please. No, I want the audience and Greg Cody, because this is going to get back to him and again hurt his feelings and again be a thing that creates tension between us.
We can make him feel better. If you want to hear his stand-up set, check out the Greg Cody Show podcast today, because the whole thing and what happened afterwards with you guys bombarding him on stage, it's all in this episode of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Once again, the show bailing him out, because now you've got 10 minutes of people will go over to that podcast.
He did like 4.5 minutes. No, you're cutting him a little, you know, give the man his due.
Well, he did 4.5 minutes. You were supposed to do 10 minutes. But what happened there is I saw the fear on your face. Mike saw the fear on your face. I saw the fear on Mike's
face. Speaking of bailing out, Dade County bail bonds, 10 years plus in the industry. We now go down to Josh Darrow.
He's still doing it?
He is. I was so delighted to hear him on Saturday. It was just so nice. They threw it to the sidelines, and Darrow was there, and he caught it, and he's been doing it now. Darrow came up in this industry. younger than you guys, came up the same way you guys did.
Josh Darrow hired me to be producer of the Hank Goldberg Show. He's been doing it for a long, long, we're getting old, man. Oh, boy.
My dad was upset. He had more material. He had stuff with Jess and, like, the carving pumpkin thing that they're going to do.
Yeah, he came off the stage and he was like, I had 2 minutes on carving pumpkins with a stencil.
See what
and
you
I was
missed
like,
out.
Oh,
see what
my
you guys
God,
did.
Okay, we but missed Mike, out on Mike, that.
Okay, is this guy 12 when he hired Stugatz? Because Stugatz is like 55.
Well, we're the same age, but he advanced in the business a lot quicker than I did. And then he hired me. He hired me to be the executive producer of the Hank Goldberg Show back in like 98, 99.
Billy, did you say this guy? Do you not know who Josh Darrow is?
No. I don't either. I should. It sounds like we went to school together.
He was the program director at WQAM for many, many years.
The height of the local radio wars. Yeah.
It really was the lowest rung of the entire show business ladder and a glorious time. But Greg Cody comes out, and was he achieving what he wanted to achieve? Because in that fear, Mike Ryan did relay to me through you, this needs rescuing. You needed help.
We're 10:45 at this point. My dad hadn't said anything that's going to get us fired. I'm like, you know what? Let's just wrap. Well, if you're ready to come on stage, let's do this.
You have to understand, there was a shark blowing smoke. Juju Gotti had a hype man. It was very strong energy. And then,
actual shark.
And then Greg Cody goes on stage, and the room dried up in 3 minutes. Because
it was a little laughter. There was a Greg Cody chant. I don't think it's as sad as you're portraying.
People were there for Greg. Yeah. Like, I think you and Greg and Stugatz are, I mean, this is, goes without saying, like, they're there for you guys, right? Like, we're kind of like the sideshow, but everyone was, like, all over Greg all night. It has to be the biggest ego boost for him. Like, he has to just feel so good when he gets home.
Your criticism of him is fair. It was a narcissistic thing. He was just up there talking about himself, but that's my dad. Like, I don't know what you, what did you expect? Well, that's just, you know, who scheduled him at 10? I mean, that's just, okay, you don't put a bad stand-up comedian after a headlining rapper.
What were you expecting, though? I'm wondering. What were you expecting?
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Lebatar Show. Do you put a bad stand-up comedian after a rapper?
Usually goes first.
Yeah, and probably you don't want to get, and you probably don't want him anywhere near the show. But what I was expecting was him to be talking to you, not the audience, and recording 10 minutes of his podcast.
That's probably on me. I could have been more active there, but I had been drinking a little bit, so I was just like, let him go.
Right.
Let him go. I'm not going to, you know, he's making himself look like, I don't need to do this too. I'll just sit back and be the
way to
the
be
funny
there
one.
For him.
Yeah. Yeah. We all agree Juju was the star. Like, he should have shut it down. Like, he had an amazing set. The energy was crazy. The shark smoke machines were like, so oh my awesome. God. Tony says awesome. I was scared
it
of them.
Was.
They were cold.
It was great.
The smoke
but
was
Jess
freezing.
Is right. You end that night on Juju. You did not end it on Greg Cody.
That is correct. And we will learn. It was not the way to end, but you can catch some more of Greg Cody's sensitive stylings on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. I need to talk to him because your mother, Chris, and I would like to have her on, talked to my wife and said something about we have to get together about the beef between our husbands and get some things off Greg's chest.
News to you.
I did not know there was a beef between their husbands.
I think it's kind of what we've kind of talked about with Mike like 10 minutes ago. It's like the on-air journalism stuff, underwear columnist. I think it's in that realm is what he's talking about.
Didn't he have like a pretty public holdout not that long ago? Yeah. Like, I feel like that maybe...
And now he is not being paid at all, only in advertising for his podcast. Like today's, he will think he did his job well because there will be clicks galore because the only place to find, we sort of embargoed the video and stuff. We'll get that out to you in the next couple of days because it looked cool as hell. Not the part with your father, but just the performances. The bands were good. And your father will be hurt by the fact that I am saying that as he drove down, and good Lord, that VIP bill cost Metalark. And I think it was your father. I think it was just your father.
I think he was just going after Miller Lights.
Hammering, but I think he drank that many of them is what I'm saying. what I'm saying is it's so many Miller Lights. Like, as you said, your mom was driving.
My mom was driving. My dad was not.
What percentage of that bill do you think was Greg Cody's? Like, what percentage? If you had to pie chart it.
I'm going to guess. Let's see. What would your answers be? Because I would think it's Cody and Roy. Because Roy wanted some expensive.
Roy was having a good time.
Yeah, but Roy wanted expensive bourbons, too. Like, he's asking for, like, top shelf stuff to be imported in from other countries.
He always is.
But, like, drinks per capita, Tony got after it on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I would put Tony at like 95%.
Really?
He also ordered shots for everyone when the night was already over.
What? Oh boy.
I never got that. I didn't get that shot because steak sauce was busy giving me drinks the whole night.
Dolphins.
I bought drinks at the bar. I didn't know there was an open bar situation.
That's adorable.
Billy. No,
you're
you
so
didn't.
You're so cute, Bill.
No, you didn't, Billy.
Yeah.
Billy. He's an everyman.
It was pretty quick. There was no one at the bar. I go, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bottle of CR, man.
Can you help me with how you guys felt watching the Dolphins yesterday?
Well, for the most part, we didn't. We kind of avoided that one. But you see the box score afterwards. Little box score, Stugatz here.
Yeah.
Miles Gaskin, 20 carries, 34 yards,
mm-hmm.
5 turnovers. You can't put the Houston Texans away.
Okay, so forgive me. So you guys are telling me that you guys who are paid to follow this stuff and have a modicum of interest in the NFL anyway and would be watching.
That's right.
Even if...
But you don't have to watch anymore, Dan. Like, when your team's bad, playing another lousy team, maybe the only team that's worse than you in the NFL, you're not forced to watch that game anymore.
I am surprised, though, that the three of you, that Billy, Chris, and Chris, who would otherwise have already, we're not even halfway. Tonight, after the game tonight, is the official halfway point of the season. We're not halfway through another season, and you guys have all bailed on Sundays don't mean anything at all? I don't even want to watch for a half?
I've bailed so much that I get disappointed when it comes on the Red Zone channel.
Wow.
It's the game I want to see least on the Red Zone channel.
Yeah, I understand that.
But it's also different because you find out that Tua is not playing an hour and 40 minutes before the game.
He's healthy enough to be the backup. When do you ever see that? What's going on there?
Weird.
Like, he's healthy enough to play the entire game if Jacoby Brissett gets hurt, but he's not. I mean, I guess he could have just, you know, it's just a finger, couldn't throw the deep ball. He would have just handed it off. But it's like, if you can't throw the deep ball, you should just not dress, right?
Well, wait a second. Whitty, are you saying if he played, there would be some intrigue there, and therefore you would watch because you want to see the progression of Tua?
You'd be more inclined to watch. Right, you want to see him against a bad defense, or maybe he throws for 350, and you're like, all right, Tua.
Okay, right.
But that's the only reason you have to watch anymore is to figure out if they have a quarterback. If it's Jacoby Brissett for the rest of the season, less than zero interest in this team. I mean, like, for what? They're 2-7.
Right.
And they're playing a quarterback, it's going nowhere. Like,
it's
what do
totally
I have to watch
fair.
For?
Yeah, if Joe Flacco was playing quarterback for the Jets, I would not watch. I'm watching to see if Mike White's going to be good. I'm watching to see if Zach Wilson's going to be good.
Johnson,
but there is
and
one
Josh
good thing.
Johnson.
I mean, Mike Gesicki. Hello.
He's good.
I mean, two one-handed catches yesterday.
It reminds me of Ronde Gadsden, one of the best catches I've ever seen in football. Now Gesicki does it every goddamn week. Every week he just reaches up with one of those Frankenstein talons and grabs
the ball. I don't think it's that impressive.
It's their whole offense. You don't have to be impressed by it. You know what? I was thinking about this the other day. They're targeting Waddle and Parker plenty, but I still think of the Dolphin offense as throw it to Gesicki and have 10 guys punch him. Like, just have 10 guys, the whole game plan. All right, this week, this is what we're going to do, guys. And it's not true. It's not real. They're throwing to the wide receivers, not downfield, but slants and garbage. But the offense feels to me like Gesicki's always open. If you can just find the place where that Frankenstein hand is and just throw it there, and then 20 hands will try and punch the football out.
We're sitting here talking Canes and Dolphins, and I understand why. Trust me, I do. But we might have the best hockey team and the best basketball team at the same exact time.
The hockey team is amazing.
Wow. Yes.
The hockey team against the Carolina Hurricanes
amazing.
Is up 4-0 in the first period. And can it be a hockey town? Because Stephen Ross said a few years ago, who was being run out on a rail by Greg Cody, said a few years ago, the Heat are a different team after LeBron left. It's a Dolphin town now. And you guys just bailed on the season. and you want to follow winners. And the Heat have been winners here for a long time, and their team is really good, although I don't know what that was against Boston. Because as soon as we started talking about this team is best in the league good, they put up a stinker of all stinkers against Boston and lost at home to the players' meeting team.
Don't you ever doubt again the strength of a players' only meeting, okay? But I told you that.
They put up a stinker, and then they beat the second-best team in terms of point differential in the NBA and the Utah Jazz. That was a really good win.
But so did Orlando yesterday.
Yeah, back-to-back nights in Florida. Don't do it.
It's tough.
And the hockey team, you guys, Billy, are they luring you in? What do they have to do? What is the hockey team? How dominant?
Not really still. Give it time. There's only too much attention that I can pay at one time.
10-0-1, Bill.
Yeah, it's football season.
It's the deepest two teams have met while still being unbeaten in an NHL season.
In regulation.
And the Panthers went out and were 4-0 up in the first period. They won 5-2. Every big game that they've had against top-level opposition, they've won. They've dropped 1 point all season. They are ridiculous. Like, I thought that game was going to be tight and fun, but it was uninteresting after 15 game minutes.
It was a cool moment at the event where Chris Cody is grabbing Roy Bellamy, not to talk Dolphins, not to celebrate them and the Canes. They are celebrating. Chris says to Roy, "We have the best hockey team in the league." They embrace. They hug each other. It was a very nice moment.
Well, that was also Roy a couple scotches in, and when you get Roy a couple scotches in, he wants to get a little handsy.
Oh, yeah.
He's more affectionate. Roy is a bit dried up emotionally, made of barbed wire and sandpaper, but when you lubricate it with a little bit of that top shelf bourbon,
like if I did that at work today, he'd be like, don't touch me. But like on Saturday, he was like we did this thing where we were holding each other's shoulders and jumping.
He kissed me. What?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.